Wow, we're glad that you're here this morning. Welcome to the first ever social distancing Sunday here at the church at 434. We are taking extra care this morning. You might have noticed that we have put Jake in isolation up there. You can't see him, but don't be worried. He's fine, and you will be as well, and he's okay back there. We have had that. We're all squared away. But from time to time, if he moves back there, you'll see him. And so thanks for being here this morning. We recognize that this is one of those crazy kind of times in our world where we are just living through what is an interesting phase. With that in mind, we are thrilled that you're here this morning and glad that you're here, and we know you didn't have to be here. We also are very much aware that there are some who couldn't be here, who don't need to be here, and that is wise, and we certainly value that. With that in mind, what's that? No, I need this. What did you do? Broke the fire. This is pure gold. If you don't believe me, go to Walmart and see if you can find some. And because you're here today, we are mindful of that. This doesn't really apply. This does not apply to our online listeners later, but because you are here live in the house this morning, we actually have our cameras turned to watch you. When we leave this morning, the worshiper of the week will receive this as a take-home prize to take home. So your worship matters today, maybe more than any other time. We'll be presenting this award at the end of worship, and so you want to do your best. Ian's off to a good start. We'll see how it goes. We go from there. Seriously, we do recognize that this is a very intense time, and it creates a lot of stress for a lot of people. A lot of people you know, and you're here, and we're thrilled. You can obviously look around the room. We have a lot of room this morning. We are one of the few churches that in this area that are actually meeting today. We've taken that very, very seriously. We've been through the decision-making process very, very seriously. We have been gathering information since last Tuesday, really working to make the best decision, and the decision we think is good. And so, already someone's asked, are you going to be here next Sunday? Is it right now? Yes, we are. If not, we'll let you know. I mean, all of those things, we're making decisions like everybody else in real time, and that's what you need to remember. As a follower of Christ and living in the world that we live in, you know, you are connected to the truth. And in a world where people are trying to process information, to be dispensers of hope and encouragement and a bit of sanity in a world that's kind of upside down is a good thing. I'm not happy about any of this, by the way. Because next to Christmas, my favorite time of year is March Madness. It disappeared in one day. And I will tell you, you know, while we laugh about it and I joke about it a lot, that ticks me off. So I'm mad about March Madness. Because, again, that's just something I enjoy. I don't like the fact that Disney World's closing. I don't like that. But see, here's what I know. I can get mad and I can get angry and I can get all wonky and snorty about it. But at the end of the day, I can't do anything about that. And for you, for me, to be responsible followers of Christ, you have to step back and ask yourself the question, what can I do? What can I do? And so for everyone here today, you've made a choice. You've made a choice to be here, and you made a choice to worship. I think it's a great choice. You have to make a choice to take care of yourself. You have to make a choice to be wise and take care of your health. You got to make some decisions that maybe you didn't have to make a week or two ago. And if you take the time and catch your breath and step back a little bit, I mean, the math works. You know, we're knocking down that bell curve a little bit, flattening it out. The math on that works. It's just smart. You know, this is different. It's new, but it's wise to do. It doesn't hurt things. You know, it doesn't hurt to wash your hands. I mean, it doesn't hurt to you know, kind of kill germs. It doesn't hurt not to sneeze or snort on somebody. I mean, it doesn't hurt to do that. I mean, this morning, you know, we're not giving you time to move around the room and and shake hands. We are going to let you do the chicken dance later. And you can do that, and that will be a holy dance this morning before the Lord. But there's just some things that you have to remember. And so my advice, my hope, my prayer for you, just like it is for me, that you would stay connected to your Creator and know that He knows what's going on even when you don't. It's easy to get frustrated with what you can't change, but what you can change is the way that you see things and the way that you view things and the lens that you look through. So look through that spiritual lens. Don't panic. Recognize that, that there's decisions being made that are out of your control. Do what you can do to be that agent of change and stability in the places you have influence. And then recognize on our end, if you're something you need, we're going to do our best to meet that need. We'll do our best to support you in that, whatever it is, we understand. While we'll try to laugh as much as we can about what is a tough time, it doesn't mean that it's not a serious time, and we recognize that as well. And keeping that healthy perspective will help you stay healthy or healthier. And so, we're glad you're here this morning. And if you weren't aware, this is a National Day of Prayer. It's a National Day of Prayer for our nation. National Day of Prayer as we remember and we ask God to not only watch over us, but also to bless our leaders. There are a lot of people who are making decisions in real time. And understand, they've never had to make decisions like this before. As much as you would like to think that there's a book, there's not. And somebody does have to make a call. Are they going to be right? Not all the time. Are they going to screw it up? Well, probably. Makes sense, right? But at the same time, we want to pray that they are as wise as possible, and they make the best decisions possible, and we do our part to make the world around us and the climate around us just a little bit safer and be an agent of change. And so if you would, bow your heads and hearts and let's pray. Ask God to bless us as we worship, but also to bless us on a larger scale as a nation in these days ahead. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have given us this opportunity today. Because every day is a gift, and this is always the only day we're assured of. This moment, this time, is a gift that we need to embrace. And if possible, we would ask that we would be able to shove all those things that are so cluttering in our minds and hearts right now and move them to the side. Heavenly Father, we ask that as people here today, we would put our worship and our focus on you. That we would see you and see you clearly. That we would have an understanding that even in a world of chaos and confusion, there's a call that you've placed on our life to be an agent of change. So God, help us to take seriously the responsibility to process the information we hear, to make the wise choices, the best choices, to not give in to fear or panic, but at the same time, allow us to keep moving forward and be those people that others can connect to and like a magnet, just draw them into those ways that will keep them healthy, keep them safe, and allow them to catch a glimpse of you. Lord, for our nation this day, this is a crazy time. And it's a time where there's a lot of stress. And people are trying to figure out what to do. What's right. They need direction. And so, Lord, for our national leaders, from our president to our Congress, to those who are making decisions and giving information from the fields of medicine and science, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would just be with them and give them a wisdom to know what to do. And to think on a bigger scale and help them to see somehow in the midst of all that's going on a bigger picture and help them to rise above the need for power, politics, and personality and instead, Heavenly Father, just be as wise as they can be to make good, solid decisions. Heavenly Father, for all those that will come and be impacted in various ways, because there's always a ripple effect of every decision. Lord, I pray that you would be with each of them, that you would help them to navigate these very tricky days in a way that is wise, smart, and responsible. Because this will pass. And we'll move on into our future. Heavenly Father, for the homes and the families are impacted by the sudden, surprising extension to spring break. It caught a lot of people off guard. A lot of surprise. And yet we realize that even in the midst of that, that there's reason for it, and I just ask that you would just bless them as they try to navigate that as successfully as possible. And then God, also for us as followers in the week ahead, we can already anticipate in the week ahead that there will be a lot of news that we'll be bombarded with. And as we sit on the cusp of a week where all of a sudden some testing opportunities will be there that haven't been there up until now, we already know that there will be an uptick of some things that we don't want to see, and we'll have to deal with numbers and process stuff all over again. But help us to remember the reason. Help us to look to you. Because you've told us that you are our source of peace. And in you we find our hope. And we know in you we have our future. So as followers, we've got everything to look forward to, including today. And so God, help us as we move into a time where we're going to continue to celebrate you. Help us to celebrate you with all that's within us. Help us to worship in your word and discover the blessings you give to us, so that when we walk out at the end of this day, we will be connected, not just to one another, but most importantly, and especially to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Great musicians do practice their scales, and we start a new series this morning. It's called A Journey. A Journey. And we go to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we've been talking about blessing ever since we got to the beginning of a brand new year. We've talked about how important it is to see your life is blessed. And so we talked about having 20/20 vision and learning to see your life not as we often see it ourselves, but to learn to see our life as God intends for us to see it, and that we can live blessed. And then we've just finished a series called Blessed to Bless, based on the idea that if you have been blessed by God, and you have, then there has to be a question that is a logical question. It makes sense when you think about it. Well, why would God bless you so much? The answer, because he loves you. But then that love doesn't happen in a vacuum. He's blessed you so that you can enjoy those blessings and bless others. You are blessed to bless. And there is a biblical mandate. That thread runs through it. And so today we begin what is the third installment of that line of thought, the blessing trilogy, if you will, where, okay, if I can see my life as blessed, and I'm blessed to bless others. If I'm so busy blessing others, do I have enough of his blessing to live each day? In other words, do you have enough for the journey that he's called you to? Has he blessed you enough to be able to do what it is that you were created to do? And I have great news for you. The answer is yes. And you are traveling through this life blessed. Now again, you have to choose to see it. That goes back to the first part of the series. You got to do something with it, which is what we just talked about. But this is to reassure you that you have what it is that you need to live the life that you were created to live. Traveling blessed. And so this particular series will take us right up until Easter week, and then, we'll, of course, we'll celebrate Easter together. And so if you have your Bibles, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to talk about the divine outfitter. Obviously, we put a camping set up here. We didn't really isolate Jake. We actually just hit him behind camo. We put up a tent. We built a fire. Not to burn the building down, but we built a fire. We've got what we need to go camping, even a roll of toilet paper. And so here we are, and we're set to begin this journey over the next few weeks. And for us, we go to the book of Peter, 2 Peter, actually, where we discover these words in verses 3 through 4, chapter 1, and it says this: His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is written by the guy who, if you look closely at Scripture, could very safely be said to be Jesus' best friend, or the best friend that Jesus had while He walked on this planet. John, the disciple that Jesus loved, would argue about that, but realistically, it seems, as you read the context of Scripture over and over again, Peter probably was the one that, if Jesus had a BFF, it would have been Peter. Now, Peter's writing this, though, as an old man, or an older man. Historically, at this point, he's getting near the end of his life. Ultimately, he is going to die for his faith, and he will be crucified upside down because he will feel and state publicly that he's not worthy to be crucified like his Savior. So Peter's faith, ultimately, his commitment to follow Jesus, is ultimately going to end in his death. And if you think about it, boy, he's come a long way. That young fisherman that began following Jesus and made mistake after mistake after mistake, and Jesus had to correct him real time and had that on-the-job training and had those 3 years with Jesus that just blew up his world. And in that miraculous moment where at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit arrives, Peter stands and all of a sudden becomes, he moves from the unofficial leader of the 12 to pretty much the official leader of the 12. He becomes the voice. He becomes the point man for these disciples as they would move forward, and forever will have that role of being that first spokesman, the one who knew Jesus maybe as well as anybody else, who made all the mistakes you could make and stayed in the game and didn't quit, who found forgiveness from Jesus on that beachfront on that morning after Jesus came back, and Peter desperately needed forgiveness. Peter had been through all of that, and he had stayed the course, and he'd stayed faithful, and he kept his eyes on Jesus, and this is what he writes. This letter means a lot, because this is a guy who traveled with Jesus. And he begins to explain as he writes. And right off the bat, we read it, that we have been given everything we need. Notice what it doesn't say. It does not say some of the things. Not many of the things. But everything we need. He doesn't even back it off and say, you got most of the things. You have everything that you need to live the godly life that you were created to do. See, a lot of times in this blessing series, if you go back, this is where it starts coming full circle. I've asked you time and time again, make yourself a habit that you don't ever need to break. Start counting your blessings. Have an attitude of gratitude. Look at your blessings. Count them. Write them down. Talk to God about them. Thank Him for them. Inventory your blessings. Because again, this is where all of a sudden what this phrase says to us, and I knew we were going to get to this phrase, begins to make a whole lot of sense. Because hopefully when you read this morning and you hear those words where Peter says, you have everything that you need to live the godly life that God has called you to, wow, you go, yes, I have. And I've been thinking about that now for 2 months. Hopefully that's where you are. But if not, hey, it's never too late. Time to start counting. Because that's exactly what Peter's saying. God has blessed you with everything you need to take the journey for Him. And by the way, the journey you're taking for Him is the journey you were created to live. You might think that you're creating the journey. But according to Scripture, your life has already been written down in the book and every page recorded before you were born. You have a life that you were created to live. And so as we live blessed, as we've been thinking about that, I mentioned it before, you know, we started and we went back to the very beginning of the series, that very first promise that God made to Abraham, where he told him, he said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make a great nation, and then the part that we always forget, and you will bless. I will use you to bless others. So God has always had this give and take when it comes to blessing, and as much as we think we have, we own nothing. But God gives us what we need, and he blesses us so that we can bless others. And because of that journey that we're called to take, and because of what Peter has written, we're going to take this morning and kind of kick off and discover that God outfits us, and so that's why we have the camping set. Giving us what we need. Making sure that for whatever we face, we've got all that we could possibly need to be successful. And how interesting it is, and one of the reasons that we were so committed and driven to kind of meet this morning is because, boy, you think about the way that the calendar falls. But with all that's going on in our world today, don't you need to be reminded that you got everything you need to survive what it is that you face tomorrow? And somehow God, in his infinite wisdom, at least for us, put those puzzle pieces together. And so here we are. We get to dance. And so I want you to see a couple things this morning that you are blessed with, because you are blessed with this no matter who you are. If you have made that decision to tap into to who Jesus is and what he's done, then this is a part of your existence every day of your life. And so if you have your worship flyer, you have the app open, you'll see what it is coming up. But the first thing I want you to see is that you have the blessing of God's power. You have the blessing of God's power. Look back, if you would, at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything that we need for a godly life through his knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Man, somewhere through the course of his lifetime, old Simon Peter got smart. He got wise. Because what he is saying here, if you think about it, is he knows that the world can be tough. Viruses, plunging stock markets, weird political seasons, work issues, relationships, parenting, all these things, real world stuff that is always crashing in and trying to steal the margins of your life and bombarding you with decision after decision after decision you have to make. And so Peter starts this letter by saying that you have everything that you need to live the life that you were created to live by God's power. It is in that power that we find the ability to function. It's the ability that we find to navigate. And it's the ability we find to live the life that we were created to live. Not because you're good and not because you can muster it on your own, but because God has given you the power that you need. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, whew, I'm overwhelmed. I mean, this is just beating the snockers out of me. I'm fearful to turn on the news. I am just so slammed right now. I can't do it. You're here. And here's what I know. You didn't get here on your own. The fact that you're still standing is a great testimony to the fact that God is great when you were not. Because we are still standing, because God is everything that he said he would be, and more. And you can say, well, you know, it was more me this week than God. Really? Really? God is everything that he said he would be, and more. And Peter is very intentional in his description of what it means that we have this kind of power. It is not an accident that he chooses the word that because of this power, we have everything necessary. Does it say you have what you want? Nope. Not unless you want God's power, which I do. Does it say everything? Do you have everything that your neighbors have? Nope. You have what you need. You might want to ball your fist up and say, well, why do my neighbors have more? Maybe they need it. Maybe they're not as tough as you. Maybe they don't know God like you do. Maybe God gave them more because they need more help. I don't know. But I do know this. Peter said it. You have everything you need, and he is a guy that knows that better than anybody else. And so he comes at it with an understanding that God supplies the power and you have to choose to live it. Some of you scientists and history nuts will recognize the name of Francis Bacon. He's not the inventor of bacon. He was an amateur scientist in the 16th century that was described as a man with an unceasing curiosity. He once stated publicly he had three goals in life. One, to uncover truth. Two, to serve his country. And three, to serve his church. Now, he probably should have flip-flopped some of that, but neither here nor there. 16th century. And you might remember his name if you were really a good student, because he's credited as one who helped discover the scientific method and helped unleash the scientific revolution of the era. He is credited with the phrase, many people that know about Francis Bacon know his quote, knowledge is power. But if you go back and check, that's not what he said. See, we've cleaned it up for our modern day textbooks. He didn't say knowledge is power. This is a quote that comes from his book entitled Sacred Meditations, where he wrote this, knowledge is his power. See what you would have missed had you stayed home today. See? Knowledge is his power. And he realized that knowledge and wisdom led to strength and success when you root it in what God gives you. That the more you know, the more you connect yourself to God, and in that connection you discover the things that you need to navigate this thing called life. In other words, he was saying before anybody knew how to say it, connect to the source. That's what the quote really is. Knowledge is power. Have you ever gone home at night and taken your cell phone and plugged it in to charge it and found out the next morning that for some reason it didn't charge? Either you got lint, pocket lint in your in the connection point here, because you mutch around with your phone in your pocket all the time, or for some reason you didn't get the cord plugged into the block quite right, or somewhere in the middle of the night the outlet kind of released the prongs of the plug and it fell out, and you get up the next morning ready to face the day, and you kind of glance down at your phone and it's got like 20% power. I mean, you charge the thing all night and you got no power. So then you feel disconnected all day long. I mean, it's unsettling to us. We live in a day and age where, man, if we can't find power, we're in trouble. I mean, we go to public places now. When you go into public places, I mean, they have charging stations. And people, man, they gravitate to those charging stations because we are now have an extra appendage in these cellular devices. And if we don't have power, we're miserable. We're disconnected. We don't know how to function. Is it possible that sometimes one of the reasons that we are so unsettled in life, and one of the reasons that we are so confused by life and so overwhelmed by life, is because we're not connecting into the power source like we need to? And the more unsettled and the more disconnected and the more confused that we find ourselves, perhaps that is the need that needs to drive us not into our own self-defeating, worrisome way of kind of looking and trying to figure out the world on our own, but it ought to drive us back to a deeper, more enriched commitment to connecting to the power source and discovering God. Because we are blessed by His power to live the life that we were created to live. And that power will sustain you. He has blessed you with it. He wants you to have it. So here's your now what. First one. You're not done yet. First one is simply this: connect to power. What does that mean? Well, you want to know what God thinks. You want to know how God feels. You want to know how God views the world, read His Word. Spend time there. Connect to God's power. Talk to Him. Spend some time talking to Him. Don't just pour out what's going on and how you feel, but then also ask Him what you need to learn, what you need to understand, to see the opportunities. Go back to the counting the blessings, all those kind of things. But in other words, talk with God, connect with Him through His conversational aspect, that side of God that we're invited to come into His presence all the time. You know, we did something Wednesday night that I've done in other environments as well, where everybody in the room prayed all the time, all at the same time out loud. And to us, it sounds like noise. We say, oh, that's silly. No, it's not. But yet we can all do that and all talk to God at once, and He's able to kind of siphon through that and hear all that He needs to hear, and He hears every request, and He processes it just like He needs to, and He does exactly what He promised He would do. He not only hears you, He responds. You have to connect to God and worship. You're here today. That's awesome. It's awesome. We have a lot of people in Central Florida, a lot of people in the world today that are connecting in worship, and they're trying to use other resources and things like that. But you know, there is something that's incredibly valuable about seeing other people. I mean, it might be cool for a week to stay home in your jammies and worship. But at the end of the day, you know, getting dressed, getting out, showering, and putting on deodorant, it's not a bad thing to do. And to be able to kind of sit there and kind of interact and bump into the people of God, as weird and as wacky as we are, is good. There's a number of ways you have to connect, but you have to make the choice to connect to that power source, because you also can unplug. And most people I know, when they decide to unplug from God, they are just a heartbeat or half a heartbeat away from getting into trouble. And once that starts, and all of a sudden there's a ripple effect in their world, in their life. And the joy is gone, it's gobbled up. They don't get to experience the blessing of God like they want, and they wonder why. Well, here's the deal. If you're not connected to the power of God, here's what I do know. God hasn't moved. That's on you. But He's given you everything you need through His power for the life that He's called you to. And that's great news, by the way. That is a blessing. You get to walk in the blessing of God's power, and so ask Him to keep you connected. The second thing you need to see is we also have the blessing of God's promise. Look at verse 4. Through these, He has given you His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. In other words, you take the promises of God. They are precious promises. And because you start living those out in your life, you get to participate in what He calls in this phrase, the divine nature. In other words, you get to start being a part of that God-breathed life that we all so often talk about. That life that God has created just for you. The abundant life. The word that is there in Scripture is Zoe. The Zoe life. It is a unique word. It is the life that God breathes into you. And you can participate in that when you start clocking into His power and living out the promises that He gives you. Then and only then do you begin to discover, oh my gosh, this thing works. This thing called faith works. One of the things that's been alarming and also not surprising to see at all in the midst of the coronavirus news that have come out, and especially as it's moved through social media, is you've seen those that wanted to mock people of faith. Where they've written things and actually posted things so the whole world can see. Well, we're going to need more than your thoughts and prayers to get through this one. And, you know, as I read that, my first reaction is to be angry. But let me get speed bump beyond that. How tragic. Because I can't imagine facing the things that we face in this world, not just right now, but every day, without the tether that I know that connects me to God. So here's the deal. Have pity on me. I'll take your thoughts and prayers all the time. Feel free to pray for me as often as you would like. I value that. Think about me as often as you like. I don't mind that either, because if you're connected to God and you're praying without ceasing, then when you're thinking about me, you're praying. I'll take that. Because you know what's going to happen? I will then be better equipped to tap into a source of power to move forward. So don't get angry when you see that. I mean, if you do, I understand that. I was there too. Get past that. Get to another bump. Do something else. You know, use it more constructively. And use it as an opportunity to recognize that there is a hollowness and an emptiness of people who desperately want answers, and they will always come up just short. You know, it's that classic scene in a movie where there's a chasm and you've got to jump, and you think you can jump, and you can make it. You got to jump 20 feet through the air, but you can only make it 19 feet, 11 inches. So close. So close. Just missed it. Smartest person in the world, just missed it. All the talent in the world, just missed it. All the skills and personality in the world, just missed it. Because if you miss what it takes to get you that next inch, you won't make it. And yet, we're reminded that God's promises are true, and they help us better understand the power of God, because it's not until you start living out the promises you recognize how much power is there. Some people don't recognize the value of the power of God because they've never had the opportunity to live out the promise of God. And the reason they've never lived out the promise of God is because they don't know Him. So when you sit there sometimes as a follower and you go, gosh, why don't they get that? Well, they've never had the chance to live it out. How can they? Because the promises help us understand the power, but they're living life powerless. They haven't connected. The battery warning light is on. They just don't know it. And when things happen like we are facing in the world today, right now, that battery light is blinking brightly, and there's a desperation because they know they're about out of power and they're about to tap out. But you don't have to live that way, because you can live with the promises of God. It's a blessing that He gives to you. And it's time to claim that blessing and live those blessings out. And those promises are through Scripture over and over and over again. R.G. Williams lived with his family, his mom and his 9 brothers and sisters, and they grew up in poverty in Louisville, Kentucky. As a boy, he took the school bus to school every day. And his ride through the streets of Louisville, he could see homeless people, drug addicts, and endless liquor stores, and people hanging out on street corners. Louisville was a horrible place. Of course it is. University of Louisville's there. Look, March Madness didn't happen. I'm a Wildcat fan. I'm in mourning. You can cut me some slack. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers. All right, now, let's go back. But for him, inside the bus, the ride through the streets of Louisville was a safe place, and that was because the driver, Louise Garnett, was a very motherly type who looked at every kid that came on her bus as her own kid. She loved those kids, and she made sure that those kids had what they needed. Even when she had to dig into her own pockets to make sure that they had what they needed for each day, she would talk to those kids as they got on the bus about their family and how they were doing and making good grades and make sure that they hadn't missed a meal. And they did. By the end of the afternoon, when Louise picked them up, she made sure they had food waiting for them, and she gave it to them when they got off the bus. That was Miss Louise. Those kids that rode her bus were her personal ministry. Argy's mom became ill, and he decided that he would take matters into his own hands, and he decided that he would become a bus driver to help his family pay their bills. So this kid, using some of his good clothes, the ones that he wore to church, took 2 days and sewed them together by hand and fashioned himself a bus uniform. He took one of the old caps that his father had left when he left their home and made himself a badge out of cardboard and aluminum foil and wrote on it in a pen, "Bus Driver." And he looked in the one mirror they had in their house, which was a broken, cracked mirror, but decided as he looked in that mirror as a little kid with his handmade uniform as a bus driver with a hat on, they looked pretty darn good. And he was ready to start helping his family. So RG went down to the bus depot and saw an empty bus. He jumped in the driver's seat, found the keys inside, started the bus. First time he sat behind the wheel of a bus, 1-10. Engine scared him. It fired up. vibration was a little bit stronger than he had thought in front of that bus. But he steeled himself by saying, I need to do this for my family, and he managed to get the bus into gear, pull out of the parking lot, bouncing into the street, clipping the mirror of a parked truck. So now this miniature bus driver is now in the streets of Louisville and feeling panic because now he didn't know what to do. Instead of stopping the bus, which he really couldn't figure out, he stepped harder on the gas pedal and began increasing speed as he made his way down the streets of Louisville. At 45 miles an hour, the police were chasing him, and he was afraid to stop. Finally, the police set up a roadblock to slow him down and eventually crashed the bus with him inside, stopping the bus and saving lives. At his trial, R.G. was asked to explain what he did and why. And he laid out his story, told him about Miss Garnett. And the court was sympathetic. And the Transit Authority of River City made an astounding promise. They told him that if he kept his nose clean, he could come back for a job when he was 25. R.G. explained as a boy who wasn't yet a teenager, that promise left him that day thinking, there is hope. R.G. did keep his nose clean. He grew up, he managed to graduate high school, first one in his family who had done that. He joined the Navy. And when he turned 25, he left the Navy and returned to Louisville and asked for the job that he had been promised. And the Transit Authority of River City gave it to him. That promise of a job had held a boy who was not yet a teenager in the Louisville courtroom when he was terrified, and it stayed with him for more than a decade. It guided him, it held him, it sustained him, and it gave him hope. And if you're trying to move through life without the blessings of God, you don't have anything to sustain you. You don't have anything to give you hope. You don't have anything that will get you through tomorrow. You might as well just call it in because you ain't gonna make it. Because the news is bad. If you listen to Fox and CNN. Because they don't get paid to give you good news. They lose ratings. They have no sponsors. They don't get paid to deliver good news. They get paid to deliver news and to keep you tuned in. Pete and I talked about that this morning. But Jesus gives you a hope that will sustain you and move you because the promises of God are real and there is a tomorrow when you become a child of the King. You try to make it without Him, guess what? You find yourself on a journey that wanders and meanders and you're miserable and you don't know why. But the promises of God come from a great God who loves us and decides that your life is worth living and your life has something that is worth offering to other people. And the Bible is a vault full of the promises of God. I said to you earlier, you want to connect to the power? Read the Bible. You can't find His promises if you don't. If you're sitting there going, I don't know what the promises of God are. Read them. They're there and they're available for you and you can tap into them. And there are more there than you can count, by the way. Infinite riches, infinite applications, each one designed to make you know Him better and discover what a great life that He really has for you. God keeps His promises. He never breaks them. Peter uses a word that sometimes it's easy to blow past. That word is precious. He's not writing in a sentimental way, by the way. He's not a sentimental guy. Of all the things Peter was, he wasn't sentimental. So he's not writing like, oh, so precious, like that kitten video or teddy bears. But the meaning of the word that he uses here is something that's rare and valuable. Think of a precious jewel or precious metal. That's what Peter is saying to you. So now what? Decide you want to claim the promises of God. You can. He's given you permission. If you made the decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus, there is a treasure trove of promises waiting for you make the choice to live the promises of God. Which brings me to the third thing. You also have the blessing of God's purpose. The blessing of God's purpose. Look at verse 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. This means that you can have a life where you can experience more of Him, more of His joy, more of His patience, more of His wisdom, more of His influence, more of His priorities. Am I the only one that needs that? All of those things are available to you, and they are all blessings to us. The Pacific Crest Trail is one of the most beautiful and most demanding hikes in the world. It's 2,650 miles from Mexico to Canada. The trail runs through California, Oregon, and Washington. It winds through deserts, mountains, and often frozen terrain. In 2018, Katarina Grohn traveled from Germany to experience the PCT for herself, and she began a journey and began making her way northbound for 2,000 miles all the way into Washington State. As she was hiking her way through Washington State, on October 22nd, she walked along with Nancy Abell of Seattle, Washington. She, too, was out hiking a small portion of the trail. And Nancy was a local hiker, and so they talked, and they walked, and they talked, and they walked. And Nancy began to realize that Katarina wasn't prepared for the next part of her journey. She realized after she left Washington and moved into Canada that she was not ready for the glacier peak that was ahead. She wasn't ready to face what was coming. And so she tried to talk her into stopping. Katarina said no. I mean, she'd come all the way from Germany to take this hike. She's 2,000 miles in. She wasn't about to stop now. She's 5 months into her trip. There's no way she was going to stop. Katarina soon regretted her decision because when conditions turned to deadly, she didn't have what she needed to face the elements. Her clothing was quickly soaked. Her shoes were no match for the snow and ice. She became dehydrated and hungry. She lost her step along the way. The winds picked up. She lost one of her two tarps, which blew away. She lost two pairs of gloves when she slipped and her pack fell open. And as she was about to die and felt like she was about to end her walk and life all in the same moment, she realized she had one Pop-Tart left. Not a pair of Pop-Tarts, but one Pop-Tart left in her bag to eat, and she was freezing. She had no cell service, as often happens in the mountains. And then through the biting wind, she heard the sound of helicopter blades. A rescue copter had appeared. They had been tracking her through the snow. They saw her red jacket below them. And, of course, you know what happened. Her friend, her new friend, Nancy Abell, had been thinking about her. She saw the storm roll in. She knew her new friend would be in trouble. And so she notified the authorities, and the search was on. Katarina was saved that day. She never finished her trip, but she was lucky to be alive. And we understand that. Because there are moments when life has felt like we were stranded and isolated, caught in a storm unexpectedly that blew out of nowhere, unplanned for, endangered by the circumstances around us. We've been watching it on the news unfold over the last 2 weeks, completely unprepared for this new journey that we're on, completely stunned by the turn of events, asking the question, how could this happen? How could this happen? How could this happen? And there are moments on our own where we are ill-equipped for the journey because we don't have the answers. We can't figure out what to do. We're exposed and we're at risk. But this passage reminds us that God is a divine outfitter. And what does Peter say? He said at the beginning, He's given us everything that we need for the journey that we're on. Everything that we need. So we're never in the position that Katarina was in. We're never in the position of being exposed that way because we have what we need. No matter how we feel, we have what we need. And we can do what we were created to do because there's power and there's promise and there's a purpose for the journey that we are on. And that's what he gives you for the journey. As you travel through life, you have the luxury of learning to travel blessed. We have a choice. We can go it alone, or we can choose to accept what he offers us to make us successful and make the journey a success. And so, the last now what is simple but loaded. Dare to pray, God, let me live your purpose. Let me live your purpose. Now understand, when you pray that though, what you're asking for is you're asking for God's power and promises to live the life that he has created for you, not the one that you're creating for yourself. Now, that might take you down a road that you didn't know you were going to go on. It might have you facing things that you didn't know you were facing. But you do have everything you need. Because that's the road where you walk with him. And that's the journey of a life that is blessed. And that's the journey where God brings people into your world that you're going to bless. That's the journey that you see your life with clarity on. That's the journey that you were created to live. When you choose to live his purpose. In a time of great confusion, what a blessing to know that we operate with power, promises, and purpose. We got it all. And that changes everything. Let's pray together. God, you are the giver of all good things. And because of that, we are very aware. Especially in times like this, that, wow, we're really unprepared. There's so many things that are out of our control. But Lord, there are some things that are in our control. We get to choose the way that we're going to live life. We get to choose the moments that are going to unfold before us. We get to choose how we're going to react to certain situations and circumstances that unfold. We get to choose. And Lord, we'll decide whether or not we're going to choose you or whether we're going to choose something else. Some other way. Some other plan. And so God, I pray that for each one of us in this room that we would choose this day. That we would connect to your power, claim your promises, and dare to live your purpose for our life. Because when we do, we discover we're travel blessed, and that you are the divine outfitter, and you give us, as the passage says, everything that we need for the life that we're created to live. So be with us this week as we try to flesh that out. Lord, for those that will watch, for those that will connect later, I pray that for them the decision to believe, trust, and follow is one that's already been made. If it hasn't been, I pray that this would be a day, a moment, an hour, where they would choose you. And if we can help with that, God, we want to. Lead them to fire us a quick email if they're watching online or listening. Heavenly Father, if they're in the room this morning, take a worship flyer and say, I accept Jesus and I want to make that decision to become a follower. And that will allow us to just load them up with resources that will help encourage them and help them to understand the decision they've made. But Lord, for many, that's the life we want. That's the life we've chosen. We just need to be reminded of how to live it blessed. Use this day as that first day of that journey for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.